Well, why shall we break with tradition? Why don't I just say, why are we here today? Because Mr. Armstrong pretty much said that every time for all 50-odd years. So, well, in a nutshell, we are called by God the Father, given to Christ for training, to become teachers in the kingdom of God. Did we get that? We already had a little inkling last night from Mr. Pippi on that one. As even mentioned a bit in the sermonette this morning. This is the key. So turn with me, if you will, please, to Luke 21. Luke 21. A verse we often use in a slightly different context, actually. Verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. All right? I'm sure that's what we all want to be. But notice the word accounted worthy. It's 2661 for those of you who collect numbers. It means to deem entirely deserving. Right? So how can we be deemed to be entirely deserving? Keeping in mind all the time, we're talking about becoming teachers. So if you turn then to John 14, a scripture we all know, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And what Christ was saying there in a nutshell was, live the way I live. That's the key. In verse 21 of John 14. He that has my commandments and keeps them is he that loves me. Meaning, that he that doesn't keep the commandments doesn't love Christ. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Think about it. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. God the Father and Jesus Christ live in us through that Holy Spirit. That's why we are ambassadors. We should be speaking the same thing. We should be reacting the same way. This is what we are striving to do, ultimately, is to become, well, when a person sees us, as was mentioned in the sermonette, a person should actually see the reflection of Christ. It's a tough call, isn't it? The result is John 6:44. You don't even turn there. John 6:44, I will raise him up in the last day. That's the result of being worthy. Raised up for what? Raised up to be a teacher. Plain and simple. That's what Christ was. We're to become like Christ. Christ was a teacher. And why? Turn back to Isaiah 8. This is a scripture we should stick on our fridge door. It ties in with the sermonette perfectly too. As ambassadors, we reflect the kingdom, right? Why and how? Verse 16 of Isaiah 8, we are the custodians of the law of God. Think about that for a moment. Because we are living God's way, we're starting to think like God thinks. That is when we are accounted worthy and totally deserving to teach others. You can't teach others until you get it right yourself. That's the key. And it's happening. It's happening. Every year, you meet people and you see they've grown. Their attitudes are changing, and it's lovely to see. And that, according to God's end time apostle, is the whole purpose of the church today. The whole purpose of the church today is to train teachers. And you know what? Out of 120,000 or whatever it was people, how few actually got it? I'm going to read. I came upon this. I'd obviously heard this sermon some time back. But I was looking for some information from Mr. Armstrong on the Get Back and Track website. And I came across this quote by Mr. Armstrong. It comes from a sermon, Why the First Fruits, which was given in 1985 in May, you know, which is just a bit less than a year before he died. It's very sad. He said, so Jesus came to start a school, and he taught them the way of God, the way of God's character, so they could be born of God. Then he told them to go out and become teachers themselves, like he had been a teacher to them, and teach others. That's the reason Christ came, to train those 12 disciples, to found the foundation of the actual church. And we read in Revelation, of course, the holy city, the 12 gates of the city, and the apostles at one each of the gates. Their future is for eternity, just as ours is. And the others that they were to teach were also to be taught and to learn so that they could become teachers. The whole process is a teaching process, ending up with those being taught becoming the teachers of the next group of people to be taught, until eventually everybody either ends up in the family of God or ashes under the feet of the righteous. Because in the holy city, that's where righteousness dwells, as we'll read later on. The whole purpose of the first fruits was to call some people out to become teachers, so that when Christ comes to save the world, they could be kings and priests under Christ. That's why, to those called into the church, the first fruit, Jesus said, the original said, this is Mr. Armstrong quoting, Jesus said in Revelation 2:26, he that comes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know, there's a subtle difference there, isn't there? You know, Jesus Christ, up until the time he came to the earth, was the Word. He was just the Word. I say just the Word. He was the Word of God. He created everything. We all know this. We all know the situation. But after he died, he became a son. He became a son. He went up. And the Father put all things under his control. He said, I don't know if that's in Revelation 3:21, and he gets a little bit mixed up here. He says, give them power over the nations, to rule them with a rod of iron. And Revelation 3:21, the same, except it says, he that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. God cannot start the kingdom of God until he first trains teachers. And he has called you and me to become those teachers. And then we got the old capital letters and bold. That's why we're the first fruits. We're called to become teachers. And it is, let's see, I believe in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, where the apostle Paul says to them, you ought now to be able to be teachers, and you have to be taught just the kindergarten truth about the kingdom of God. You haven't learned. You should have been better students. Paul berating the church back in that time, because they weren't getting it. Remember, I read the other day there that he said that all in Asia have left me. The whole of Asia just left Paul. He had to speak to the Galatians. How are you guys gone from the truth so soon? 20 years after Christ died, they were already going off on dirt tracks. We are not called just for salvation, and if it were for salvation, we wouldn't have been called at all. You wouldn't have been called at all if it was just to get into the kingdom. And again, his voice is shattering the room. That's not why we were called. You were called to become a student. You were called to learn how to save others when God's kingdom comes, when Jesus is sitting on the throne. Brethren, you don't get it. You see why the build-up? This is what he was trying to get across to those people. I've heard ministers speaking as if they'd never heard of this. I've said to some of them, I don't think our people understand this. They say, oh, yes, they do, Mr. Armstrong. Oh, no, you don't, brethren. You don't understand at all. Talking to those people back then. You don't understand. You don't understand. We're not called just to be the first ones to get into the kingdom of God. We are called for a special mission, to become teachers. We are not called to become some, to go out and convert the world now. We are called to learn how in the resurrection we can be rulers and teachers. Because to be a proper teacher, really, you've got to be God, haven't you? to the church and not to anyone else but the church, Jesus said, if you overcome, you that are studying to be teachers, if you overcome, I will grant for you to sit with me on my throne and help me rule the world and teach the world. Jesus is the teacher and Jesus is a ruler. Revelation 5:10, and we shall be kings and priests and we shall rule on the earth. Not going to heaven. And then again we hit the old bold capital letters. Brethren, I don't think you'll ever learn that. Did you get that? Speaking to several thousand people, I think that was in Pasadena, headquarters church. I don't think you'll ever get that. Has my teaching been in vain, brethren? Sometimes I wonder. I get discouraged, terribly discouraged. I don't think you get it. Just think of Mr. Armstrong's life. Think of what God put him through. Think of all the strife and the trouble and the hassles that he had and the diligence that he attacked this thing with. 14 years he kept these holy days with no understanding at all. 7 years alone with his wife and 7 years with a small group. They just kept this feast because God said, keep it. Then the understanding came. And what understanding? I think too much Protestantism has rubbed off on you that you just don't understand the truth when I give it to you. And it's really Christ giving it to you through me. Because I'm certainly not competent to give it to you of myself. I could not do it at all. You see, it was Christ speaking to the church through his end-time apostle. Right at the end of his life, there's a major point that most of the church still to this day has not understood. Hence the different groups. Just look at Mr. Armstrong. Right at the end of his life, you haven't learned. You should have been better students. Brethren, you don't get it. I've heard ministers speaking as if they'd never heard of this. Oh, no, you don't, brethren. You just don't understand it. This is a man that had gone through all this, had been diligent in doing what he'd done, had given his whole life to this, and he's now 93, pushing 93 years old, 20 years older than me. I feel quite young. Says Mr. Pippi as well. 93 years old, virtually blind, having given his whole life to this, looking back on all the things that God had done through him, going to visit all those kings and rulers, being given the truth as to why we're here, where we're going, what's the whole purpose of man. These are things the world has no clue about. We're here to become God. Think about it. If you can you imagine? Because it's going to happen. It could be a reality within 5 years' time even. Was he right? Where are the 120,000 people who were baptized? Where are they? Oh, there are some groups now keeping the feast. Nothing like 120,000. Realizing that we are here to be trained as teachers is the key to everything. Once we get this firmly in our heads and strive to be good teachers with Christ's help, then and only then can we truly fulfill our calling. This subject is not just important, it's vital that we understand it. And I'll put it to you right now, the reason we're here is because we do understand it. We're starting to get it, aren't we? We're starting to get it. Because the future becomes clearer and clearer. All right. So we're here. We're at the beginning of the millennium. What are we going to teach? What are we going to teach? Well, first of all, before we start teaching, we need to understand our pupils. We need to understand our pupils. These people will have been brought back to the land and the rebels weeded out. God is not going to force his way on anybody. It's a choice. Obey and be blessed, rebel and die. That sounds awfully, awfully harsh, doesn't it? But you know, you either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it, you can't be in the kingdom of God. God is not going to have one rebel around the place is enough. Satan. We don't want another Satan. Harsh. Those who don't live God's way will not be in the family of God. It's that simple. Just turn to 2 Peter now, if you would, please. 2 Peter 3. Verse 13. Interesting, you read the Apostle Peter. He doesn't talk about the millennium. Look where his focus is. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherein dwells righteousness. People totally, totally attuned to living God's way. So that when God sends us out as the first fruits anywhere in the universe to do a job, it's as if he's going there because we speak the same way he speaks. We speak the same things he speaks. We live the same way as he lives. That's the key. Turn to Revelation. Revelation 22 and verse 15. This is from the New Living Translation. Revelation 22 verse 15. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. All who love to live a lie. I was just checking the news on this terrible shooting in the States. Already there are reports of more than one gunman. It looks like it could have been a false flag, according to some people. You see, as soon as anything goes bad now, the conspiracies come up. The next item or two down was number five, the building that collapsed next to the Trade Center. It couldn't have possibly gone. They've proved it now. The fire could not have caused it. It's all the time creating doubt and creating deception. This is Satan at work. If we've got the mind to see it, because it's horrific. The message has never changed. From the very beginning. He gives them the same choice recorded way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Just turn back to Deuteronomy 4. And again, I keep saying this, but remember when we go back into the Old Testament, this whole, 6,000 years really, this whole 6,000 years of man's existence has occurred, so we get the point. And the point is simple, without God's Holy Spirit, you cannot obey God. It's not possible. It's simply not possible. Think of Jesus Christ going around there and with his ministry, preaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, lepers healed, blind people healed. And what did the religious leaders want to do? They wanted to kill him. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? If there was somebody in the church suddenly blessed with the gift of healing, would we want to bump him off and get rid of him? He'd be a busy guy. He'd be a very busy man. I can think of a few people right now that could do with healing. Message never changed. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I say, this is all written for us today upon whom the ends of the world has come. And you know, you read something like this, verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it. You shall be utterly destroyed. Now he's talking to them then, they're going into that part of the world. Verse 27, and the Eternal shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be few left in number among the heathen, whereon the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But, verse 29, but, if you from thence, in captivity, you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. How can they seek him if they've never heard of him? Think about it. You can't change unless you know where you're going. There's an awful lot of people out there, several hundred million people, I would estimate, who've heard about God's true way. We had millions of Plain Truth. Towards the end, the Plain Truth circulation was 8 million magazines. 8 million. US and GB, I think, ultimately, again, millions and millions of copies. Who is the beast? You know, Book of Revelation revealed to us. Millions of these booklets went out. And they reckon each booklet is probably read by 20, 30 people. You still buy them on the internet. Even though it says you shan't sell them for front cover. But if you, in from thence, you shall seek the Lord, you'll find him. Verse 30. When you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, now. This is thousands of years ago he's writing this. It's written for us today. And I would put it to you, this is a warning to the final era of God's church. If you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient to his voice, and in verse 31 it says, for the Lord thy God is merciful God, he will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. You see, God knew it would happen. Go to Deuteronomy 31. Why could God know it was going to happen? Well, because God created men as carnal human beings that needed the Holy Spirit. And right off, we rejected the Holy Spirit. Mankind is only half there. Now, when you accept that, you then realize, when you read the news, yeah, they're only half there. They can't make up what sex they are. So they go through an operation. What they don't tell you now is there's a tremendous upsurge in people going back to the doctors and saying, I want to change back. That can present certain basic problems, people. It really can. Mixed up world, chaotic world. Which gender are you today? I'm a Zen. What's a Zen? Mind your own business. That's personal. You can't believe what's going on. This is Deuteronomy 31, verse 16. This is God now speaking to Moses right at the end of his life. And the Eternal said to Moses, behold, you shall sleep with your fathers, and this people will rise up and will go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. It had to happen. It could not not happen, because they weren't obeying God. Satan was their God. And I think that's one of the big lessons from us today. This is Satan's world. Should we be surprised? Should we really be surprised? We watch the news. We're told to watch the news. We read the prophecies. We see what Mr. Armstrong gave us, that was given that framework of prophecy. We see the blocks all getting filled in. Why? Because you get your tick list. USA going down. Tick. Britain. Joke. Tick. Germany rising up. Tick. Germany rearming. Tick. Germany moving to the right wing. Tick. And so it goes on. So when it happens, we're warned about earthquakes. That's not just earthquakes, commotions. It's seismos. It's hurricanes, you name it, tornadoes, tsunamis, what we would call natural disasters. You go home tonight and you turn on the telly or the radio and you find out that 500,000 people have died in some city because a tsunami came in or was hit by an earthquake. We're not shocked. Oh, it's horrible, yes. But we're expecting it. It's on our tick list. The tick list that Christ gave us. These are the things that are going to happen. And they're happening. It should give us the confidence to see that God's doing exactly what he said. Verse 28. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves. This is Moses now delivering the message to the people. And turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. If you were alive then, you're going to say, why are you telling me this now? Why are you telling me this? This is the latter days. This is 30,000 years or whatever in the future. Why? Don't bug me. But you see, they weren't getting it. It wasn't for them. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Eternal and provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears all of the congregation of Israel the words of this song until he had ended it. He actually got up and sung it. Yeah. This last 12 months, 1 million human beings' lives were snuffed out before they could actually manage to get out the womb in America. In England, it's 200,000. Which is exactly in proportion to the population of America. Those babies, where'd they go? Most of them go in an incinerator. Do you think God likes that? Of course he doesn't. He said, go out. Marry. Have children. and what we do. We say, no, become a homosexual, that way you can't breed. Or become a transgender, and you're so mixed up, you don't know what to do. Yeah. And if you do get pregnant, you don't want it, well, don't worry about it, we'll get rid of it for you. They reckon, a rough estimate from World War II till now, the number of people that have died in abortions equals the population of this country, 65 million. And one estimate puts it at over 100 million, because in most countries they don't keep any records. Do you think God likes that? Yes. He knew it would happen. He knew it would happen. All this is to prove to us that without God's Holy Spirit, man cannot obey God. It's not going to happen. Ever. Turn to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. See, we need to learn all this. We're going to tell people this. We're going to teach people this. Do you know why you went through all this mess? God warned you 3,000-4,000 years ago. You didn't listen? It's happened. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also out of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. That's when you start going into all the different doctrines now that we have. Everything's been questioned. There's a group somewhere. It doesn't matter what your idea is that you want to support. Somewhere you'll find a group that doesn't want to keep the Sabbath, doesn't want to tithe, believes that Christ is going to raise up some rocks to do the work because nobody else is doing it, and so forth and so on. It gets madder and madder. Jesus Christ is not the God of the Old Testament. Did you not know that? A whole bunch of people believe that out there. Mr. Armstrong made that very clear. Very, very, very clear. It's speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every night and day with tears. Paul was frustrated because he knew the way it was going with a lot of the people. Oh yeah, they got dunked. They had hands laid on them, but did anything really happen? Some of them just got wet. Mr. Armstrong, writing in the Worldwide News in June 85, this is the month after he gave that sermon, under the title Recent History of the Philadelphia Era of the Worldwide Church of God. A final personal word. In a few days, I'll be 93 years of age. For some years now, there have been some, like vultures, waiting for me to die. They would like to come back and take over the leadership of the church in my stead. I have been deeply concerned about this, but in no sense worried. This is the church of God, not any man. Jesus Christ is the living head of this church. I am not. But you see, he knew. Why did he know? Because he'd looked into history and he saw Paul the same problem. Only he used the thing of wolves. You go back into the Old Testament, and God warned Moses then, they're all going to go. Some, fortunately, in the New Testament, hung on to the truth. And the church stuttered and stammered through 1900 years until Mr. Armstrong got called. And when he says that the gospel hadn't been preached for 1900 years, he's right. Who's preaching the gospel? Who's preaching that Christ is going to return to take over the rulership of all the nations? Show me. The Catholic Church believes is already here. The Pope's the one. He's in place of Christ. This is the kingdom of God. If this is his idea of the kingdom of God, you know what you can do with it? It's rubbish. It's a total disaster. First, let's remember the blessings and the cursings of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Those blessings are still going to be fulfilled. And you, we, all of us, part of our job will be to show people you were warned. There's blessings and there's cursings. Right now, you've just finished the cursings. You are the survivors. Now I'm going to show you what's going to happen. Remember the world they're going to be standing in? The whole land littered with skeletons, military equipment. churned up a right mess, an absolute mess. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things have come upon you, and the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you will call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. A lot of the people, they'll go there, they'll be driven off, they'll find themselves working in some sweat box in Germany or whatever, being treated like dirt, and yet surviving, because God will keep them going. And it'll start tweaking on them. Hang on a minute, we've heard about this. And the penny will drop. God will open their mind and they'll realize who they really are and why they're there. And they will, some will call on God. And the ones that call on God will get the help. They'll be standing in front of us. They'll be the ones we'll be teaching. You will call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all I have commanded you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, and the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. It's God that does the scattering. Why is the church in a mess? Well, God's allowed it. He's allowed it because every single person is being tried and tested. I've often thought back to when we were back to South Africa after I'd been at college, we had 750 people in the Johannesburg church. We had deacons left, right and centre. We had 10 local elders. We had preaching elders. We had 2-3 pastors there. We had the manager of the whole nation, country, and a deputy. There were more ministers there than you can shake a stick at. It was a social club. We used to get together every Sunday, and we used to play baseball, and we used to have a big barbecue, and stuff ourselves full of watermelons, and enjoy the South African weather. Ah, it was terrific. Absolutely terrific, yeah. What did we learn? If any of you are driven out to the furthest parts under the heavens, from there the Eternal your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. It doesn't matter where people are sent. Down to South America, down to Africa, into the Far East, who knows? And the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Think of it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. That's what God wants. And right here, of course, we can interject just Joel. You all know Joel 2, don't even bother going there. Basically, he says, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. This is Joel 2, verse 27. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Just think about it. Satan, gone. All these thoughts that come into your mind that are rotten, that we keep on fighting, trying to bring every thought into captivity. Yeah, that's gone. Completely gone. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit on everybody. Everybody will have a complete mind. That's the kind of people we're going to be teaching. People who want to be taught. Back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 7. Also the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Eternal and do all his commandments which I command you today. You see, we keep on going back to these commandments that according to most people today are done away with. Does that make sense? You see, we're dealing with a God of this world who is perverted. Who has a totally perverted mind. Yeah? And he knows that the best way to get everybody off track is to give them a good reason not to obey the commandments. They're done away with. They're nailed to the cross. Very sad. Verse 9. And the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. Verse 10. If, capital letters, bold, underlined, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's dead simple. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven to bring it for us, to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. For the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. That you may live that way. This is what we're going to be teaching them. I set before you, verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But, two little simple words, eh? If and but. This is the but. If your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and to worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over into Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. They chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they should decide. Adam and Eve wanted to decide what was good and what was evil. That's not the choice. That was the wrong game. The choice is, do we obey God or not? That's the choice. We don't get to make the rules. You go out in a car, you drive on the road, you do not get to make the rules. You've got to obey the rules or not. And if you don't obey the rules, chances are you're going to get caught and punished. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's where we're going back to. That's our roots. That's our roots. And even right now, it needs cleaning up. But I'll tell you, after that war, and Christ returns, that whole area is going to have to be gone over the tooth comb to get it back into the land that we can actually get people to live in. Ezekiel, turn to Ezekiel 20. As Mr. Armstrong used to say, Ezekiel was written to modern day Israel. Ezekiel was in the captivity. Israel had already scattered, long gone. And he's addressing to Israel. So it's got to be future. Ezekiel 20 verse 33, as I live, says the eternal God, surely with a mighty hand and with stretched out arm and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. And I will bring you out of the people, I will gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. This is God talking. You look at one of these hurricanes. So a picture of Puerto Rico, these beautiful hills rowing right into the sea, a beautiful bay, ships languishing in the lagoon, all beautiful and peaceful. And next to it, you have the day after. There's nothing left. There's no green. Every green thing had been removed. All the trees, crops, gone. Brown hills, flattened buildings. All the boats piled up in the marina. That's a hurricane. Compared to the power of God, you know what that is? That's nothing. That's nothing. Go into Revelation, read what's going to happen to this earth. And you start seeing one angel can do. Not God or Christ, just one angel. What one angel can do. I'll tell you, this power, we haven't a clue what the sort of power. And we haven't a clue the kind of power we're going to possess. That's why we've got to get the righteousness a bit right. If you're going to buy somebody a high-speed sports car, You better get trained up first to drive the thing. It happened just recently, an Indian businessman, bought a Bugatti Veyron of a million pounds worth, I think, or thereabouts of car. His son got in it and drove off, straight into a tree, and wrote it off, and his father hadn't had time to insure it. There's one very, very unhappy father, and one son who wants to go into hiding, over £1 million, totally written off. It just, the acceleration was so vicious, it just lost it. Verse 35. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead with you face to face. Now, this is interesting. I gave a sermon on this some years back. This term, wilderness of the people, refers to Kadesh. Or in later times, it was called Kadesh Barnea. That's where the children of Israel went to. And there they got kicked out. And there they went back. And from there they went into the promised land. And Kadesh Barnea is a place we call Petra today. Just a small point. Very interesting. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will plead with you, says the Eternal. I will cause you to pass under the rod. Now, you make a little note there of Leviticus 27:32. That's the way the tithe was done. You at the end of the year, you gathered your flock up, and it was corralled, and the priest stood there with his rod, and the gate was open, and he counted the animals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That one's the Lord's. Didn't matter what it was, whether it was the best one in the crop, or in the flock, or whether it was lame, or whatever. That was the Lord's, and it went. Passed under the rod. Does that mean only 10% of the people are going to make it? There's not going to be a huge population, that's for sure. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. And God does this sorting out. He will be dealing with people that want to be taught, some of whom may well be our own family. Think about it. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 30. Verse 9. For if you turn again unto the Eternal, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. Applied back then. Is it going to apply in the future? So much of it does, doesn't it? And the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and he will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Think about it. Some of those people standing in front of you could be your own children. Would that not be good? Oh, I told you so. It will sound so good, won't it? All right. Then we can begin to teach. The first job is unlearning, isn't it? Mr. Armstrong should spend a lot of time on this. Mystery of the Ages in the preface. The most difficult thing for any human seems to be to admit he's being wrong, to confess error and belief and conviction, to unlearn false knowledge as well as to learn true knowledge. It's a job. It's a job and a half. Mankind has endured 6,000 years of deception. There's an awful lot of unlearning to be done. So what I've done here, I'm going to go through like a story in the first person. I'm now in the God family, and I'm addressing my group. Perhaps not for the first time. But this will give you some idea, perhaps, as to what you're going to be saying. I mean, some of you ladies, for instance, you're never going to get up here and preach, are you? You're still learning to be kings and priests. You're going a different route. You're still going to be teaching. You're still learning to teach. You don't have to be jumping up and down giving sermons to teach. By now, you would have had your eyes open to the biggest deception ever perpetrated on mankind. You will now realize that this world you have left behind was not ruled actually by God, but by Satan. First, I'll show you just how much you will have to unlearn. Then I will show you just why you're here. Now, what do you have to unlearn? Well, the short answer is everything. Everything. To give you some idea just how much you have to unlearn, let's start with the basics. Let's start with the names of the days of the week. Sunday, day of the sun god, gone. Monday, moon's day, gone. Tuesday, Trier, a lesson on God of War. Wednesday, Woden's Day, an Anglo-Saxon god. Thursday, obviously, Thor's Day. That's a Norse god of thunder and lightning. Friday, associated with Freyr, the Norse goddess of love, marriage and fertility. Gone. Saturday, derives from Saturn's Day. How's that for a start? Doesn't get much more basic, does it? The days of the week are all wrong. We've got to change them. The days of the month follow the same pattern. January, Janus, and so forth and so on. They're all after foreign gods. They're not allowed. They've gone. They've been scrapped. They're on the garbage heap. The length of the year has changed. The Earth's orbit around the sun has been restored back to the 360 days that it was in the beginning of creation. We now have a perfect calendar. You were given clues. You could work it out from the Bible that happened at the flood. 365 days and so many hours. That's chaos. That's confusion. That's tohu and bohu. 360 days is a perfect time. Why do you have 360 degrees in a circle? Think about it. It was all in front of you and you were blind. You couldn't see it. Your old holy days, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, and all the rest have been replaced by God's holy days, which picture why you are here. It pictures the very plan that has brought you to this point and where you're going from this point. And you were warned back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14. You know, God said, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. Did you not notice back then when you got up towards Christmas that the murders increased, the traffic accidents increased, the disasters increased? Because everybody was getting angry. And then one day when they all got drunk, gave their kids lots of presents to get them out their hair, and then suffered for a hangover for a week. That's not rejoicing. That's not happiness. That's actually destroying your body. The way you grow your crops will be totally different. Totally different. Think back. You've read the story where the spies went into the land, into a Gentile land that God was going to give to the Israelites, and they brought a bunch of grapes back out as proof that they'd been there. And the bunch of grapes are so big they're tied to a pole between two men. Do you ever see a grape that big? Bunch of grapes that big? I bought some grapes yesterday from Portugal. Little tiny grapes. The sweetest, nicest little grapes I've tasted for years. Little bunch. The whole bunch I can hold in my hand. What's it going to be like when you've got to carry him between on a pole? Yeah. I can see Mr. Monroe licking his lips thinking, how am I going to make wine with that lot? I'd like a bunch of grapes that big. Amos. Read you a little bit from the book of Amos. Thousands of years ago. Amos 9 verse 13. Behold, the day comes, says the Eternal. The plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. That day is now. Starts right now. And you're going to see why. You have lived through the cursing, which were recorded in the Bible for disobedience. You have survived the national captivity. The last 3.5 years have been horrific. There's nobody here that cannot agree with that statement. But you are actually protected. What you should now realize is that from the point in which you turned to God and cried for help, you received protection. Yes? You received protection. Now, you have set your mind to live God's way, and according to his law, here are the blessings. Here are the blessings. Yeah, I've been right out of the Bible for you. They've been here all the time. Leviticus 26, verse 1. You shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear up any standing image. Neither shall you set up any image of stone on your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. What do you want to worship a lump of rock for? What do you want? A lump of rock can't do anything for you. I can. God family can. Think about it. You will keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, because I am the Eternal. Unlike you, who will reach a certain age and die, possibly, maybe not, we'll discuss that later. I can't die. I'm eternal. I'm the same as God the Father. I have power. I have power at my fingertips that you can't believe, but you will see over the years. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the tree of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into sowing time, and you will eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land. You're going to have the guy getting ready to plough up the land to plant the next crop, telling the guy, harvest, come on, come on, come on, get the harvest in. I need to plough this land up for the next crop. I'll give you peace in the land. And you will lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will get rid of evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Nobody is ever going to be able to hurt you again, ever. Think about that one, people. You'll chase your enemies, and you shall fall before the sword. Five of you shall chase 100. And I'll respect you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat of the old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. You can have so much fresh stuff growing that the stuff you save, you just throw it away. Such abundance. They probably won't be thrown away. It'll probably put some good use. I will set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. And here's the promise that's being fulfilled right now. I will walk among you and will be your God, and you will be my people. You can teach that. Because this is a situation that each and every one of us is going to be in. We're going to face people up. We're going to be able to say this. We're here now. This is it. This is it. From now on, all your teachers will be immortal members of the God family. No more human people teaching a load of rubbish. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And it says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not the teachers be removed into the corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. You'll probably read that verse a few times this week. They'll see it. They'll be able to see God. Just as Christ appeared to the disciples. Just as Christ grabbed Thomas's hand and thrust it into his side and said, now do you believe me? That must have been terrifying. All government functions will be fulfilled by the kingdom of God. No more corrupt politicians. No more voting. Oh, well. The way you build your cities be totally different. Totally different. The way you build your houses, totally different. Even your priorities will be totally different. As you make a note of Proverbs 24, verse 27, it says, prepare your work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build your house. See, today what we do, build a house, and then we'll start digging the garden, right? No. The first thing you do is you get the land working and get the crops planted, and then you build a house. You can't eat a house. Yeah? Turn to Isaiah 11. Here's a promise that was made to you, which is now fulfilled, as you may well have noticed already. Isaiah 11 verse 6, the very nature of the animal kingdom has been totally changed. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child will play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the cockatrice's den. You want to worry, like we had a couple of years back, a fox jumped in through a window and savaged two little twin girls lying in bed, 2 years old. They had to go to hospital. They were really badly ripped up by a wild fox. And you hear of animal attacks, you know, all the time. In fact, there's one this morning in the news. Somebody in the Far East was attacked by a python and eaten. There will be a whole new financial system. No more bankers. No more bankers. No more worthless money. No more inflation. A bag of barley in this society will be the same price in 1,000 years' time as it is today. There will be zero inflation. Zero inflation. Debt cancelled every 7 years. if somebody has to sell a bit of their land, they can only sell it up into the Jubilee. And then it's given back. And it's got to be given back in better condition than it was given out. This whole society is based on give, not get. Where you were, it was get, wasn't it? Yeah. I'll buy a lottery ticket because I might get the jackpot. You thought what you'd do today if you won 100... The latest Euro Millions is 160 million pounds. 160 million pounds. What would you do with it? Knowing what we know, it was scary because you think, I'm going to lose all this. This is all going to go. The minute the banks all go, foot, this money's going. It wrecks lives. Very few lottery winners end up happy. Divorced. One young man got 9 million, I believe it was, and in 2 years he squandered the lot, 9 million pounds, blew his mind, ended up on drugs in a rehabilitation clinic. Every single facet of the life in the old world, Satan's world, has been totally removed. That's why we had the earthquakes. That's why the continents have been moved around. When you see a map of what you're living on now, it is totally, totally different to what it was. Totally different. Satan's world has been totally destroyed. All of it. The industries, everything. It was all wrong. It was all done for gain, for profit, with no thought to the people really who are using the things produced, especially the food. Finally, just to keep you going, I'm going to let you into a little secret as to what's coming up very shortly. Jeremiah 31, verse 10 to verse 14. This is in the New Living Translation, by the way. The Lord who scattered his people will gather them and watch over them as a shepherd does his flock. That's happening right now. That is happening right now. And the Lord has redeemed Israel from those too strong for them. That's happened. You're here. Then they shall come home and sing songs of joy in the heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the Lord's good gifts, the abundant crops of grain, new wine and olive oil, and the healthy flocks and herbs. Their life will be like a watered garden, and all their sorrows will be gone. The young women will dance for joy, and the men, old and young, will join in the celebration. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow for rejoicing. The priests will enjoy abundance, and my people will feast on the good gifts. I, the Eternal, have spoken. And when I say that, it happens, people. You can be happy. The pressure's off. The goals are completely different. You've now got to learn a totally new way of life. I'll go back to, again, the Old Testament. It was all here, but you failed to recognize that it was aimed at you. Deuteronomy 28. This is a New Living Translation again. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you on high among all the nations of the world. You are going to be the head nation of the world. Think about that. Doesn't look like it right now, does it? Looks like a mess. And it is a mess. This is the result of what happens when human beings try to attack God. It's a non-contest. As you can see the results all around you. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread bowls will be blessed. Whatever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. You have no enemies. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Ancient Israel was supposed to be the nation. They were supposed to show and be an example of God's way of life in the world. And they let down so badly that people looked on those people and despised God. If they're doing this, what's their God like? Yeah. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Eternal, and they will stand in awe of you. This is your future. In the next few years, this is all going to happen. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations. You will never need to borrow from them. That's one of the things you people are going to be doing. You're going to be spreading. The rest of this world's in a total mess. You will recover very quickly, and you will have to help them recover. And that will be giving them an example to follow until eventually all the nations come under God's government. If you listen to these commands of the eternal your God I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never on the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after the gods to worship them. God promised several thousand years ago the prophet Ezekiel to write in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 8. The mountains of Israel will produce heavy crops of fruit for my people, and they will be coming home again soon. See, I care about you. I will pay attention to you. Your ground will be plowed and your crops planted. I will greatly increase the population of Israel, and the ruined cities will be rebuilt and filled with people. Not rebuilt the way they were. Rebuilt according to a new plan that we will be showing you. Your cities will be a place of beauty. I will increase not only the people, but also your animals. O mountain of Israel, I will bring people to live on you once again. I will make you even more prosperous than you ever were before. Then you will know that I am the Eternal. Think at the time of Solomon, how wealthy that country was. When they could splash gold around like the way they did on that temple. The whole thing covered in gold. Just for no other reason than to make it beautiful. Because God appreciates great beauty. But when you see what what we've done to the land today, we're destroying the world. I mean, I used recently the example of the Mississippi River, where that comes into the Gulf of Mexico. 700 square miles of ocean is totally dead. Nothing lives. It's just water. No plants, no fish, nothing. Nothing. Because of all the chemicals that have run off the land. I'll have more to say that later on in the feast. Yeah, we've destroyed the earth. Yeah. Until now, the God you have worshipped was Satan the devil. You did not even know the true God. You were deceived. And that's why the whole earth has ended up in this mess. Verse 12, I will cause my people to walk on you once again, and you will have, this will be your territory. You will never again rob them of their children. Your children will grow up and there's no danger to them because they'll be looked after. They can go out and sleep in the woods at night. Nothing will attack them. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out of you the stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart, a circumcised heart, as it says in the King James. A new heart, a heart that wants to obey, a heart that wants to live God's way. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my law. Do you want to know why? Because in the future, you too are going to be teachers, which I'll get to in a bit. You too are going to end up teaching people. It's not just for you here and now. Verse 28. And you will live in Israel, the land I gave to your ancestors long ago. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will cleanse you of your filthy behavior. I will give you good crops of grain, and I will send no more famines on the land. You're never going to have to go hungry again for lack of food. I will give you great harvests from your fruit trees and your fields, and never again will the surrounding nations be able to scoff at your land for its famines. Verse 31. Then you will remember your past sins and despise yourselves for all the detestable things you did. America, 300 million people. 100 million of them are suffering from some form of sexually transmitted disease. One third of the population. Think about it. A third of the population. And how many are on drugs? Tens of thousands die every year from drug overdoses. I'm just picking on America because I just happened to read the figures recently. In England, it's just the same. It's just the same in proportion to the population. Yeah. Because they don't obey the law. They turn sex into a spectator sport. Seeing God made to hold a marriage together, solidify a marriage, and to produce children, they've taken it and totally turned it into corruption. That's what we're going to have to sort out, people. You'll hear a voice behind you. Things are going wrong. We're going to say, oh, don't go this way. You'll be taught. And you'll be taught why you don't make these silly mistakes. Not only were you passing laws to protect people who were breaking God's law, but anyone who dared to criticize their depraved behavior could well up in prison. You know that. You criticize a person who was a homosexual, and what happens? Hate speech. What a terrible society you come out of. I hope the last 3.5 years have taught you the lesson that you don't want to go back to it ever. Verse 33, this is what your sovereign Lord says. I will cleanse you from your sins. I will repopulate your cities. The ruins will be rebuilt. The fields that used to lie empty and desolate in plain view of everyone will again be farmed. And I will bring you back, people will say. This former wasteland is now like the Garden of Eden. That's what this nation, that's what you're going to do. That's your immediate job. Is to start creating, finishing off the earth to make it like it should have been in the Garden of Eden. Like paradise. That's the object. That's the object. And later on, you'll see why. I know that you're all feeling a little overwhelmed at the moment. When I look at the mess the land is in, you will realize why the basic cleanup is going to take 7 months. After a few years and a lot of hard work, this land will be like the Garden of Eden. And there's a lot more to your future. Satan has been locked away. Can no longer have any influence on you. He's gone. He's locked away. This has happened. Revelation 20 gives you your future. Right? Revelation 20 verse 5. And the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up all the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. At the end of the 1,000 years, people, there's going to be a great resurrection. Probably somewhere around about 70, 80 billion people. All the people that have been alive on this planet since Adam are going to be resurrected. Think about it. All your family, all your friends, all your antecedents, you better trace your family right back. Physically see them in the flesh. You are going to have to teach them what we are teaching you now. That's your job. And they will be resurrected into a world that you will have physically created. With our help, they will be literally raised in paradise. That's in the Bible. Do you know that? You never noticed it because you didn't know what to look for. Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 21. This is Jesus Christ himself talking. Who you will see, by the way, at some stage. You'll see him in person. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For all the mighty works which are done in you, had they been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Ooh, so the people of Tyre and Sidon, of biblical era, are going to be resurrected with the people Christ was talking to? That's what it says. Verse 23, and you, Capernaum, which art exalted unto the heavens, shall be brought down to hell or the grave. For if the mighty works which have been done in you have been done in Sodom, they would have remained until this day. Think about that. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, because Capernaum rejected Christ. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. It sounds impossible, but it's going to happen. You didn't think you were going into captivity, did you? For 3.5 years, you didn't think you would survive, did you? Well, you're here. There's another clue. Luke 23, verse 42. As Jesus was being crucified, each side of him was a thief. And the one thief was repentant. He was kind of sorry for what he'd done. The one chided Christ. The other one, no. He said to Jesus, verse 42, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Christ's reply should explain a lot to you now. And Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you today, you shall be with me in paradise. There it is. The thief that was crucified right next to Jesus Christ will be with Christ in paradise. When is the paradise? You're going to make it. That's your job. That's what you're going to be involved in. And these people will all be resurrected into a world. I can see the look on your faces. What's going to happen to me? You will be in the God family. You will be sitting here. When these people are resurrected, the vast majority of them died horrific deaths in wars, in famines. I mean, just one small example from personal experience down in South Africa. I went to a monument down there. During the Boer War, the British, who have always been such gentlemen in war, of course, they had 2 prisoner of war camps. They put all the men in one camp and the women and the children in the other camp. And there was a gap of about 10 feet in between the fences. And the women and children all got, I'm not sure it was diphtheria or one of these diseases that slowly kills you off. And the men stood on this side watching their families die there. And that was allowed to happen. So much for Ephraim, yeah? That's nothing to what happened during the Second World War. It was certainly nothing to what happened in the Great Tribulation, was it? You lived through that. That word paradise there means the Garden of Eden. What Christ created in the beginning, you are now going to be part of creating now. Turn this whole earth. Just so you know, the mountains have all gone. The deserts are all going to be watered. The whole world is going to be fertile, not just 10% of it. The whole world is going to be fertile. But that's when this thief is resurrected. He'll be resurrected into a world that is just like the Garden of Eden. And that's your immediate job. You're the pioneers chosen to start a great project. The whole earth will be turned into a paradise, ready to receive the billions of people that will be resurrected to a physical life, where they will live for 100 years to see if they will accept God's way. The ones that do will come into the God family. The ones that don't will die. Because we can't have rebels in God's family. When your physical life is over and you've shown that you want God's way and you've proved it by living it, you will be simply changed. Changed into spirit. You'll become immortal. When we come to the big resurrection at the end, these people will have to unlearn. That's why you're being taught now, because you know what it's like to stop calling it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or January, February, March, for example. These people all have problems. They'll all have problems. And you will have witnessed these problems. You'll know how hard it was. So you'll have compassion on them, and you'll work with them, till they get rid of all this garbage out of their mind and replace it with God's way. Think about that. What an opportunity you have. Just one final thing that you need to unlearn right now. You had always taught me that when you die, you went to heaven. Right? The Bible quite clearly says the only one that's ever gone to heaven is Jesus Christ. Some of you believe that you went to hell and you jumped up and down on hot coals for eternity, or until somebody gave the Pope a whole load of money to get you out. Didn't happen. Not true. The dead know nothing until they're resurrected. There's so much you've got to learn. So much you've got to learn. The opposite is actually true. At the end of everything, the holy city where God the Father lives is coming down onto the earth. You're not going to heaven. Heaven's coming down to you. The meek inherit the earth. Do you want to inherit the moon? Nothing much up there. A whole lot of pop marks, which is a result of Satan's rebellion, by the way. And you'll learn about that as we go along. The whole universe is a mess. It's all going to be cleaned up. We have whole galaxies colliding at the moment. It's not the way it was created. There's a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. But let's just read you a little bit about the ultimate future, just so you get an idea where you're going. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This heaven and this earth, our solar system, and even the galaxies, are a mess. They weren't created like that. If you look at our solar system at the moment, just past Mars, there's the asteroid belt, which is obviously at some stage a planet. It's going to smash to pieces. If you look at the moon, it's totally pockmarked with craters from flying debris. Some of those craters are 50 miles across. Even the Earth, because our Earth has been treated with the weather and so on over the years, the whole Gulf of Mexico is one meteor strike. One meteor strike. Down in South Africa, there's an area called the Valley of 1,000 Hills. Philip ran a marathon through that. 54 miles, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And one day a pilot was flying over it really high, and he looked down, he took a photograph of it, and you can see quite clearly an elliptical meteor strike. That covers 300, 400 square miles, one meteor strike. The whole Earth was destroyed at that stage, and so is the rest of the solar system. You remember we talked about Mr. Armstrong? He said that when man went into space, all they were going to find was destruction. And we've seen all the planets. We've seen Mercury. We've seen Venus. We've seen right out to Pluto. And right out in Pluto, guess what? It's desolation. That all needs to be sorted out and cleaned up. There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. And God the Father will dwell on that earth. That earth will become the center of the whole creation. This is the Apostle John writing 2,000 years ago. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. But those people will all be immortal. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. Now there shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. You are the foundation of this. This is what starts here now. This is where the kingdom of God starts to rule, that will bring all this around about. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. They're going to happen. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that cometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. My son, notice, family. Just as Jesus Christ is a son of God, so will every one of us be. And then, here's where you're going to have a little bit of trust in the God family. Because, you know, if I tried to explain to you what's coming up after that, you wouldn't be able to even believe it. But it's all fantastic. At the end of the age, we also asked this question, and God gave us the answer. And yet again, the answer was written for us several thousand years ago by a prophet. Turn to Isaiah 65 and verse 17. When all this is over, and the holy city is here on the earth, and we're all in the God family as immortal sons of God, this should give you a little clue. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. Do you get that? A whole new universe. And it will be perfect. There'll be no more tohu and bohu. It will all work. It will all be perfect. And the former, this life, leading right up to the moment that holy city touches down on the earth, will not be remembered nor come to mind. The 7,000 year plan of God, that's what we're talking about, that you're involved in, will not even come back into your mind. Do you start to realize now what is going to be happening? It's so vast. It's so vast that all this, you've just come through a horrendous tribulation. There's never been a time like that. The Bible tells you that. You've survived. You're now going into 1,000 years, recreating the earth, making it like a Garden of Eden. So that when people are resurrected in the white throne judgment period, they come to paradise. They're going to be shocked. Crops in the field, fruit on the trees, animals in the field. Lions playing with their kids. Children. Nobody hurting. Nobody killing. No more war. That's what we're working towards. And you think, well, that's fantastic. And all these people have changed. And you look at this whole 7,000 year plan and you stand in awe of what God is going to accomplish. And yet, when we get to that point, it will not be remembered. It won't even come into our mind. That is all I'm going to give you some idea as to what's up front. When that holy city, New Jerusalem, is finally on a new earth, a great new era begins, and you'll be there if you're prepared to work hard now, reject and unlearn the old ways of Satan world, and prove to yourselves that God's way is the way of life, and it's the only way that works. You'll be there as immortal members of the family of God.